All right. Good evening. How are y'all doing? So glad y'all joined me tonight. We got all the little, man, we got some cool stuff going on out there. There was, the girls were hanging out there. The boys are getting ready to shoot BB guns. It's some happening stuff. But we're going to do some trivia. But I've only got two questions this week because I'm down to four questions for the book of Micah. And so these aren't too hard. You may know them. And then I'm going to throw a bonus one that I don't have up there for fun. I don't know if it's fun or not. Just to see if anybody knows the answer. All right. So number one, here's the first trivia question. What two places are mentioned in Micah chapter 5, verse 6? Is it A, Assyria and Nimrod? B, Judah and Israel? C, Greece and Egypt? Or D, Sodom and Gomorrah? Who has a guess? Huh? Y'all think it's D? Let's show them the answer. It's Assyria and Nimrod. All right, let's go to question number two. Who is Miriam? Is it A, Moses' grandmother, B, Moses' mother, C, Moses' sister, or D, Moses' wife? C, what do you think? B, who is it? It is C. Here's the bonus question. What is Moses' mother's name? Anybody know? It sure don't sound like a female name, I can tell you that. It's Jochebed. Jochebed. She's only mentioned like twice, and that's in the beginning of Exodus, where basically she puts him in the basket, and that's pretty much it. And his wife is talked about, but I can't remember if her name is mentioned. Huh? Sephora, that, okay, yeah. And but it's only mentioned like once or twice, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, did they? What? Oh, I thought you said something. So I've got two announcements. We have Operation Christmas Child boxes available in the foyer. If you'd like to shop for a box this year, all boxes are due back November 15th. So you can pick those up out there in the foyer. If you have to deassemble Kelly's Christmas tree, feel free. Go right ahead. We're going to need those boxes. I've already told her that. So far it's stayed intact. It's done. No one's needed it yet. So, but anyway, also if you would like to host a big candy location for Halloween this year, then you can need to see me. I have a sign for you to post in your yard. And we will also give the candy for you to hand out. I need to know all participants by October 18th. Maybe some of you are asking, what's a big candy location? We've done this for the last, oh goodness, 5 or 6 years now. I mean, it's been a big, big hit. But our church in different neighborhoods throughout the area, the River Valley, we have a location in Greenwood, possibly one in Van Buren. We'll have maybe a couple here in Fort Smith. But this year, we're giving away Starburst Duos and not a little roll of Starburst. You know how, you know what I'm talking about, how they come when you buy them for a dollar in the store? No, I'm talking about a bag of Starburst, individually wrapped Starburst, and it's going to be a full bag, and it's going to be the Duos. The Duos has two different flavors per Starburst. So this will be something cool. We're going to give it out this year. But if you want to know, after we've got our locations, if you want to know our locations, you can send us a text, and we'll try to find a location close to you. So recap real quickly what we've been talking about in the book of Micah. This is a prophecy written by Micah between 740 to 710 BC. And in the first few chapters of Micah, he's prophesied about the coming destruction for Samaria and Judah. He has told the people why God was going to bring the destruction to them. And he told the leaders about what was going to happen. He also told the false prophets that they would not hear from God again because they wouldn't tell the people the truth. This whole book has been about the coming judgment of God. However, last week we talked about Micah mentioned in his prophecy about a hope that was to come. That even though they would go into exile, there would be a hope that was coming, a Savior. And he was referring to Jesus Christ who would come. And, you know, and so he prophesied this. Think about that. Micah was prophesying about Jesus coming over 700 years before Christ came. And, of course, we know that Jesus came and he brought hope to the world, brought salvation. And so that's just amazing truth. So we're going to continue in this thought. Today we're in Micah chapter 6, and we'll get there in just a minute. But here's the main thought for tonight. God's justice is intentional and specific. His judgment is the result of his all-powerful nature. You know, one of my favorite types of movies or TV shows is ones that depict some sort of courtroom drama. Man, I love shows like Matlock. I know he hadn't been on in years, but you can still watch the reruns, I think, on some channels. And I think one time he was on the Hallmark Channel. I don't know if he's still on there or not, but he used to be on the Hallmark Channel. And that was one of the few channels that we had. And I remember sitting, I had a DVR at that time, and I set my DVR to record Matlock. And I ended up watching every episode. I think there's like, 12 seasons or something, or 8 seasons of Matlock. It was a bunch. That's all I know. But I watched, and you know, even though that show was old, I loved just that courtroom drama, knowing that he was going to pull it out, you know? And then Law and Order, and then there's a new show called Bull. That's why I love that show. He's a clinical courtroom science psychologist. He studies jurors and then he picks jurors and all that stuff. It's an interesting show. And then there was another older show called The Practice. Anybody ever seen that one? And I could go on. There's been some shows that I've even watched because it was a courtroom show and it didn't make it. You know, after the first season, it would end or what have you, because just no one was picking it up. But these are all things that I enjoy. Well, and I say all that to bring this up. As we begin Micah chapter 6, that's kind of like what we have here. The Lord had a case or dispute against his people. He demanded that they step forward to hear his accusations and to justify their evil actions if that was possible. And the whole thing is, what right did they have, these people have, to reject their covenant with God? God was the one who set them apart from all other nations. He gave them his special laws and promises, and he rescued them time and time again. So who were they to break this covenant? And yet they had continually disobeyed his laws, and we're going to read the specific charges against the people in verses 9 through 16. We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's begin reading at chapter 6, verse 1. So here it is, Micah chapter 6, verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 5. It says, "Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say." And then this in quotations means starts. "Hear you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel." And God says this, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, Remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. So here we are in these first five verses. God asked his people what he had deserved, what he had done to deserve their rejection. Had he failed them in some way? Could it be his fault that they had disobeyed his word? Had God neglected the people or failed to love them enough? And you see, the answer is clear. Israel had no excuse. God had treated his people with kindness. He had been patient with them. Complete faithfulness throughout their history. I mean, God was just wonderful to them, and yet they still turned their back on him. And today, maybe God could ask the same questions of all who turn their backs on him now. You know, if we become disloyal to him, reject his standards, accept the ways of the world, you know, it'll not be because God has been unfaithful to us, but it'll be because of our own selfish desires and our lack of gratitude for his grace, his undeserved favor and love. Now let's look at verse 6. He says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Now, verse 8, if you want to, I don't know if you remember this series is called Walk Humbly, and this is where it comes from, is Micah chapter 5, verse 8. And, you know, verse 8 is the main verse for our series on the book of Micah. So let's read it one more time, and then let's look at it. It says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" And here's three things: to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, if I was to give you a three-point message tonight from our text, it would come from this verse. I mean, it's perfect setup right there for a three-point message. You may have even heard a message based off this text. But this passage is one of the great summary statements of the Bible. And it gives us the clearest and most complete picture of how God expects his people to conduct themselves. The verse gives a threefold definition of God's standard of goodness and what our commitment to him involves. Number one, we must act justly, which requires being fair and honest in our dealings with others. What is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12? You know, we got Royal Rangers tonight. This is their motto or pledge motto, I think it is. This is the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It says what? "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." So notice that it says that we must act justly. And this is significant because a person can claim to appreciate justice, but they speak falsely unless they are willing to take necessary action to make sure that others are treated justly. Number two, we must love mercy, which requires showing genuine, active compassion and kindness to individuals in need. Notice that it says we must love mercy. This is significant because people can actually appear to do merciful things, but their actions are not true unless they really love people from their hearts. I can show you mercy all day long, but if I don't love you, it doesn't really count. You know, I mean, I can give you mercy, but if I'm not doing it with love, are my motives pure? Are my motives right? And then the third thing is we must walk humbly with our God, which requires constant gratitude toward God, total reliance on him, and an undying respect for his purposes, following them every day. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Public worship is only a small part of our total commitment to Christ. A genuine love for the Lord must be shown by gracious actions toward others, particularly those in need." Now, let's read the charges against the people. It starts at verse 9. He says this, "Listen, the Lord is calling to the city, and to fear your name is wisdom. Heed the rod and the one who appointed it. Am I still to forget your ill-gotten treasures, you wicked house, and the short ephah, which is accursed? Shall I acquit someone with dishonest scales, with a bag of false weights? Your rich people are violent, your inhabitants are liars, and their tongues speak deceitfully. Therefore I have begun to destroy you, to ruin you because of your sins. You will eat, but not be satisfied. Your stomach will still be empty. You will store up, but save nothing, because what you save I will give to the sword. You will plant, but not harvest. You will press olives, but not use the oil. You will crush grapes, but not drink the wine. You have observed the statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house. You have followed their traditions. Therefore, I will give you over to ruin and your people to derision. You will bear the scorn of the nations." So think about it for just a second. So here they are. He's telling them, look, you're going to do all this work, but you're not going to get to enjoy the fruit of your labor, basically. I mean, think about it. How many of you would, if I asked you to go out, hey, I need you to go out and, make some bread. You know, I need you to go out. I want you to make 20 loaves of bread, and you don't get to eat any of it. Well, there's no fun in that, is there? I mean, have you ever made bread? Bread's hard work, isn't it? I mean, especially if you got to do it all by hand, you got to knead the dough, you got to, do everything just right, then you got to wait on it to rise. You got to do all this stuff before you put it in the oven. Then when it comes out of the oven, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to cut into that bread, and you want to eat a good hot piece with butter on it, right? And maybe some jam or some honey. I mean, that just makes it sound good right there, don't it? But that's what we want to do, right? I mean, we want to enjoy that. And so that's basically what God was telling them. You're going to do all these things, but you're not going to get to enjoy it, you know? So he's just basically telling them, you might as well just get ready, because you're going to do it. You're going to do the work, but you're not going to get the benefits for it. You know, sometimes God, he tears down what we build, you know? We do all this work, but he tears it down to show us that we gained it through the wrong method. I mean, and that's kind of what they had done. They were disobeying God. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do. And Micah tells the people that God will make it so that all their accomplishments leave them unfulfilled and wanting. That's what he was telling them. So how often we have failed to see that our lack of satisfaction from working so hard may be due to the fact that our hearts were wrong from the beginning. You ever done something just out of, because you have to? You know, you ever worked a job that you hated, but you did it because you got to pay the bills, you know what I'm saying? And I remember working some jobs. I had some stinkers, man. I've worked some places that I would never go back again and work, you know? And then I've had some places that I didn't mind working, but there was some that I hated. I'd come home, I was like, man, I don't want to go do that again. But I did it because I had to have some money, you know what I mean? I mean, you got to go work, right? But our accomplishments, sometimes they come at a heavy price, and the success simply will not sustain us. It's because we're not enjoying it. We're not happy. And often we face consequences for our sin. When time and again we have the opportunity to change our direction or choose to ignore counsel, and we choose the latter. We ignore what people are telling us. We won't listen. The only outcome for us is danger. And so, you know, while Micah's pronouncement doesn't include any references to previous warnings, we know the prophets warn God's people over and over again. You can read all throughout the prophets, you know, Israel, you know, the book of Israel, the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel. These are just the major prophets, and then you can read the minor prophets too. Just time and time again, these warnings. It wasn't like God had just, this was the first time God was saying anything to them. You know, he's warned them, he's warned them, and he's warned them. And so this is, you know, this is just, it's like, man, I'm just telling you what's about to happen. You know, and so here life is, you know, life is filled with all types of challenges and circumstances, right? I mean, not every difficult situation is related to sinful choices or not honoring God. However, we'd do well to remember there are times when this is the case. Sometimes what might seem a series of innocuous decisions turn out to be life-changing. You know, we're doing these things. We don't necessarily enjoy them. We don't want to do them. But then it's like, wow, this really changed my life, you know. Because I did this, it made a difference in my life, made an impact in my life. And we're no different from Micah's audience in this respect. The heart of the issue for Micah is that people have stopped relying on God as their source for life. They were relying on their own abilities. They were relying on what they could do and not on what God could do through them. But they've tried to fill the void with their own accomplishments. Most likely, and it didn't seem that that was a big of a deal. But in time, those decisions had major. In other words, in time, those decisions really made an impact on their life. It really caused some major troubles, some major things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 calls for believers to let the peace of Christ rule their hearts. And since decisions today impact our tomorrows, it's important to keep Jesus on the throne of our hearts. And we should not be surprised when God calls us to account for our lives. You know, there's going to be times that God's wanting us to go a certain direction, and we you know, we think, oh, I can handle this on my own. You know, you ever I love when kids are growing up because they want to do everything, don't they? They want to do everything. Let me do it. You ever hear that? I can do that. Let me do it. And you know they can't because they're not strong enough, or they're too small, or what have you. You know, or they, you know, Bryn is height challenged, you know, she's short. So anytime that there's something on a top shelf, she does everything in her power to get it herself. She don't want anybody to help her. She doesn't come ask for help. She would rather climb the shelves and fall and hurt herself than to get somebody to help her, because she wants to do it. She thinks she's big enough, she can go do it. And a lot of times, just like that, that's the way we are when God's sitting there saying, you know, I can help you with this. I can walk with you. I can be there right by your side. I can be with you every step of the way. If something is difficult and hard, I can help you get through it. And a lot of times, what do? No, it's all right, God. I got it. I can handle this on my own. And we would rather carry our own burdens around than to just take a moment and ask God to help us when he's sitting there saying, you know, hey, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Let me take that upon you so that you don't have to worry about it. And he wants to take those burdens upon himself away from us so that it makes our life easier. He wants to guide us and direct us and be there with us. So that's kind of what we're talking about here today is the people had chosen to follow their own abilities instead of following what God's direction was. And because of that, it was leading to their destruction, leading to their downfall. They weren't going to see the reward of their labor because they had turned their backs on God and were not following God's instructions. So tonight, as we pray, I want us to pray that we will ask God, we will submit to God and want his leadership and his guidance. So let's pray. God, I just thank you that we can come here tonight and be in your house. And God, I pray for every believer that's listening, God, and any unbeliever that's listening, God. If there's anybody out there that they're struggling, maybe whatever they're going through, they're needing help and they've not bothered asking you for help. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts, touch their lives, Lord. God, help them to reach up and just to ask you for that help. And because we know that you'll be there to walk us each and every step of the way, that you'll guide us, that you'll direct us. Help us to listen to your voice, listen to what you're speaking to us, and let us be led by you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you, next Wednesday we're going to conclude this book series on Micah. And in 2 weeks, we're going to start a new book series on the book of Hebrews. And the Hebrews series is going to be an 8-week series. It's going to take us to the end of the year. So we basically have, there's technically with next week and the 8 weeks plus the two that we're not going to be in service, there is technically, we have 11 weeks left in the year. Isn't that crazy to think? I mean, it's the middle of October, you know, and Halloween is like 2 weeks away. And so it's just crazy to think that it's already, you know, upon us. And but anyway, that series will take us to the end of the year. And then what I'm looking at doing next year, starting in January, is I'm looking at doing a series that will cover the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it's just going to hit the highlights. We're going to do it all in a year, and but I'll let you know closer to time. Just kind of want to give you an idea of what I'm looking at. I'm not going to hit one specific book. It's just going to be start at Genesis, and we're just going to boom, 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 boom. Each week for 52 weeks, we're going to go from the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the end and just kind of hit the highlights of what the Word of God says to us. So that'll be next year, but I'll have more about that later on. Also, be sure to join us this Sunday for service at 10:30 a.m., either in person or on YouTube live. And then also, Food Pantry is this Saturday at 10 a.m. If you'd like to help with the Food Pantry, please be at the church at 9 a.m. And then also, men's breakfast is at 8:30 a.m. this Saturday. If you have a prayer request that you would like for us to pray for tonight, you can text it to us at 479-888-7331. We will pray for all the needs that are sent in. I've already received a couple of needs for tonight. And so I just want to say to everybody that's watching, thanks for joining us tonight. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday. Done. Hello. I hope so, Claire. I don't matter.